The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Obviously, during the game, I made the change from a quarterback from Brian Hoyer to Ryan Mallett. I thought it was in the best interest of the team at the time to, make an announcement to them on Wednesday and basically just let them know that I was going with Ryan Mallett as a starter against Carolina. But I forgot I told my wife, and I think she must have called Ian Rappaport. And so these things get out there.
So maybe you shouldn't trust your wife. And who won the debate? America did. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. Put your comments on posts by others, please. Visitor posts, I think is what they call it now. Please don't send us messages because we never see them. You can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Happy Thursday. We'll have Christopher Harris here to talk a little fantasy at 5:30. So as we get closer to that, if you have good fantasy questions, please send them our way.
I'm just asking him personal fantasy questions today.
Yeah?
I'm not doing anything for the people. I'm selfish today.
Well, I as I always say with fantasy, just he's got rankings up, so if it's one of those, do I start this guy or this guy questions, we're not going to bother him with those. But if you actually, have something that works for everybody, that's more of a general question, more than happy to answer those.
All right.
So I guess Bill O'Brien made it official today.
I feel like we kind of knew that was the case. I took Ian Rappaport's word for it.
Yeah. After talking to Jason Braddock the other day, it was pretty clear that was – yeah, the Rappaport was right. I guess Bill trying to be funny with his wife there.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess you have to have a sense of humor when you're changing your quarterback the first week of the season. If you don't, it's not going to be a
I felt like we got a burst of they played with more energy. They went out and scored, but he's not addressing what we addressed. The game was already decided when he got out there. There was mop up time points basically.
It was, and the question is now whether or not he'll go out there and do the same thing now that he's going to be starting from the beginning. And if he does, okay, you got a better football team. If he doesn't, then I hate to do this after two games, but if Ryan Mallett plays like garbage, what do you do next? You're pretty much screwed.
You are screwed.
And that would be a damn shame. I really don't want to sit through another one of those seasons. That was absolutely no fun. But I have a feeling he's going to play pretty well.
I don't share your feeling, but it can't be much worse. I'll say that.
Well, I think he's going to play better than Hoyer did. I think he's going to play well enough to move the offense and score him some points. I don't know if it's going to be enough.
You think he'll be a top 15 quarterback by the end of the year?
Well.
You on Team Braddock with that?
Because
I'm firmly in the other camp.
I trust Jason Braddock a lot.
Yep.
And
smart guy.
He's a smart guy.
I'm with you on that.
He knows his Texans. By the way, he's going to be filling in for you tomorrow, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
So it'd actually be more fun because I don't know what the guy's going to be. It is Jason Braddock, right, John?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just laughing because the sports topics, he's a little different because he doesn't watch TV and stuff, so it's kind of funny.
He doesn't care about anything but sports.
Yeah, no. His sense of humor is a little weird too, so he's a little funny.
He is. He's a good guy, and it was really entertaining, at least for me and Jong, when he knew absolutely nothing about Game of Thrones.
But he plays along with it. That's why I like him.
Yeah. He's got. Oh well, you can't work at this station and not be able to take a beating every now and then. I mean, that's part of how everybody here operates. So He's good-natured about it, so it'll be fun. But I want to hear his thoughts on the Republican debate, because I'm sure he took 5 minutes away from you know, staring at film to watch that. I'm guessing.
Probably. Yeah, he's not into that same kind of stuff we are.
No, in fact, I'm gonna say 95% chance he didn't watch 1 second of that.
Nope.
Because when he's not doing what he does, he's watching film and watching games. And that's why he's a great resource, and we're happy to have him on the station. Yep. Of course, you can hear him on Hustle Town on Wednesday nights, and he'll be here tomorrow. And he's a white guy.
Yeah, contrary to what your initial thought will be.
Anyway, so there's Tanya Ganguly wrote something kind of interesting, which I don't know how many times I've actually said that, but she went back and researched every team that changed its quarterback after week one.
In history. Okay.
At least recent history. Well, some of this isn't that recent. And I would be curious if you could put an over-under on how many teams had done that, where would the Texans be? What number would they be? How many?
I mean, this counts injuries, too? Like when Brady got hurt week one.
Yeah, no. This was just making a change for performance.
I'll go with the 15th.
All right, in the last 11 seasons.
Oh, I thought you said history.
Oh, sorry. She's got the last 11 seasons. I don't know why it's the last
11. I'll go with 6.
This is the 5th.
Damn.
It's happened 4 times. Would you like to hear how the results went?
Yeah, let me hear them. How'd they do?
Well, in 2014, the Rams started Sean Hill for one game and replaced him with Austin Davis.
Okay.
They went 6-10 and did not make the playoffs.
Okay.
I actually remember that. Austin Davis looked pretty good for a couple games. And then people figured out, hey, he's Austin Davis.
Well, speaking of Austin Davis, did you see that he's getting first-team reps with the Browns right now?
Yep.
Which, yeah, well, I guess somebody's got to. But that lets you know how the Browns are feeling right now, if Austin Davis is getting first-team reps with that team. How many, he only started like half the games last year, right?
They
were going back and forth.
But that was a pure performance change.
Okay.
And that, all right, in 2008, Tampa Bay, Jeff Garcia was the starting quarterback. After one game, they replaced him with Brian Greasy.
Yeah.
Greasy went 3-2. The Bucs did go 9-7, just missed the playoffs. In 2007, you may remember the great Charlie Fry, who started for the Cleveland Browns.
I do.
He was benched after one game for Derek Anderson.
Actually worked out well for him.
It did. Anderson went 10-5 and led them to a 10-6 record. They missed the playoffs anyway, but 10-6 you would take.
Man, 10-6 for the Browns, that's like...
For the Texans, come on. You kidding me?
Yeah.
You'd take 10-6 right now, wouldn't you?
No doubt.
And in 2005, you may remember this guy. Patrick Ramsey started for Washington for one game, then benched for Mark Brunell. Brunell went 9-6. Redskins made the playoffs, and they're the only one of that group to actually make the playoffs. But three of them did have winning records.
The Patrick Ramsey one, and this is a long time ago, right? Patrick Ramsey won the game that he got benched after, I think.
I think so. I don't remember, though.
I think they won that game, and they were still like, yeah, but you're not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But anyway, so it has happened before.
I'm surprised that never happened with Buffalo. Like, I'm surprised that you didn't say E.J. Manuel or not Patrick Ramsey.
They
J.P. Lawson.
But they went three or four games with Manuel last year, right?
Yeah.
Because one of them was here. In fact, I think the Texans game is the one that cost him his job.
Yep.
But, your Bills, not one of the teams. Now, and this doesn't count somebody getting hurt like Brady did.
Right.
But anyway, I don't know what it means necessarily, but that's where you are. So it could work out. I'm just like everybody else. I'm hopeful it'll work out. I'm hopeful the guy can play. And I think being a top 16 quarterback is asking a lot, but if you can be 16-20, I'll take that.
Yep.
You know, somewhere in that range, because that was about what you had last year, and that's probably good enough. But we'll see. I think it's going to be very interesting. Joshua says, if I hear it, best interest of the team one more time, I swear. I don't think we've quite hammered O'Brien enough for this. It's all good to recognize that you made a mistake one game in, but even the way he did it at the time, he didn't seem like he thought he was making the right choice. He talked about how much he likes Brian Hoyer, and but you got to do what's in the best interest of the team, no matter how much you like a guy. It's great to like a guy. It's great that a guy has terrific work ethic, that he gets in the film room and he looks like a genius. Can't play, can't play.
Yep.
And I just think this is almost a no-win situation, because if Mallett turns out to be decent and, you know, they go on to have a decent record and just miss the playoffs because of one game, he's going to look really bad. And he should. He should. And that's going to fall on him. But, you know, it's just your second year as a head coach in the NFL, you should learn a little bit from your first year. I think so. Anyway, but that's just me. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. So what did you think of the debates last night? I thought they were fun.
Fun? All right. they make me sad, I got to be honest. But what happens for me is, Fred, and you can vouch for this when it comes to sports, like I'll say something about something and then people will – take the opposite thing and say, well, at least I'm not what you are, but I'm not. And I get this a lot with, I got this last week with Cowboy fan. I was laughing at Cowboy fan's misfortunes up until the very end, where the Giants basically gave it to him. And someone said, well, yeah, well, you're a Texans fan, so what does that mean? I'm like, well, I mean.
Not really.
I mean, would I like to see the Texans win? Sure. Am I a Texans fan?
You're an equal opportunity troller, though. You brag on everybody.
Exactly. And so last night when I'm giving my Twitter play-by-play on the debate, there's a bunch of people, is Hillary going to do any better? No. She's just as much of a dummy as these guys. Is it not possible that the Republican candidates and the Democrat candidates are dummies? Because that's kind of what I think. So
they're not dumb people. They really aren't. They do say dumb things, but I don't think they're dumb people. I think there was actually some pretty smart people on that stage last night, but unfortunately
they get the least FaceTime. Well, they don't ask those guys any questions.
No, because the guy I think who got the least FaceTime was Huckabee, and he is an idiot.
Oh, that's true.
That guy's a complete moron. But anyway, I think the problem is I think we'll see the same thing with the Democrats. They're so caught up in trying to kiss up to the one hardcore part of the party that and I think this hurt them last time in the general election. And it's the middle is what you have to win. And they're not really playing to that. And I think some of the issues they keep talking about, frankly, are just dead issues.
Abortion?
That isn't
changing.
No.
Yeah, you can get the most hardcore right-wing, God-fearing Republican elected president of the United States, abortion is not going to get outlawed. Like, if anybody still think that that's a platform to stand on, like...
Yeah, and they wasted a good 20, 25 minutes on
it. It's not an issue anymore because it's not changing.
Yeah, I thought the first debate, I thought the Fox people actually asked better questions.
Fox did a much better job than CNN, which is mind-boggling to me.
I know. Can you imagine that?
I thought Fox would softball them, and they didn't. But I think they did a much better debate the first time.
You know what they need, though? Instead of interrupting them, they need to have a little button they can push that just cuts off their microphone when their time's up. Because and everybody had to jump in. I thought that the guy that to me comes off the best. I'll say this first off. Rand Paul had a much better night than he did the first time.
Yeah, but I'm starting to come around on the fact he has no chance.
No, he's got no shot, so I'm kind of giving up on him. And I actually think, and maybe it's just because he picks the right topics to jump in on, but I think Rubio always comes off looking good in these things, and I thought he did last night. But I have a massive crush on Fiorina, so I can't really judge her.
You know, I think she's okay.
I know she's okay, but there's just something about her that's hot. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because she's old like me.
I feel like the only ones I could even take seriously are Kasich, Paul, Fiorina, and Carson. And I really don't think any of them have a chance. I think it's Trump or Bush. And
I thought Bush was terrible last night. I thought he came off as a complete moron. And I think they told him to try to be more aggressive. And I don't think it worked. And that was a guy that, going in, I was leaning toward Rand Paul or Jeb as my guy. I'm out on Jeb. And especially when he comes out and says he's going to bring in all the same people that...
Yeah.
Really? That's all you've got? Is that one pool? Anyway, we'll get back to that.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that. I don't want to just quit now.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
First of all, Rand Paul shouldn't even be on this stage. He's number 11. He's got 1% in the polls. And how he got up here, there's far too many people. Anyway.
Ms. Fiorina, you were CEO of Hewlett-Packard. Donald Trump says you, quote, ran HP into the ground.
I was a businessman. I got along with Clinton. I got along with everybody. Yeah. That was my job, to get along with people.
But the simple
Excuse me. One second.
No.
Cannot
take
more energy tonight. I like that.
Last week in Rolling Stone magazine, Donald Trump said the following about you, quote, look at that face. Would anyone vote for that? Can you imagine that? The face of our next president. Please feel free to respond.
I think women all over this country heard very clearly what Mr. Trump said.
I think she's got a beautiful face, and I think she's a beautiful woman.
So do I. I like that face. I know. It's just, it's a taste thing.
You're into that?
A little bit, yeah. I'm not going to lie.
She was so disgusted. Like, her face, when he said that, was just like, ugh, you vile monster.
The one part where I wasn't impressed with her, when they started talking about what happened at HP and why she was out, she looked nervous about that.
Yeah.
She kind of came off as a little bit shaky. But I didn't like, and again, I don't look at it from I look at it from a different perspective. I look at it as how is this as entertainment? How is this as media?
Oh, yeah.
And so I look at the people who, to me, make the best impressions. The one thing that bothered me was a couple of guys just would refuse to answer the questions. Walker was the worst about that. He would never actually answer a question. And that always bothers me. It's pretty simple.
Or if they start talking about something completely different.
Yeah, it's like, well, here's what I do. Here's my record.
Okay. Like, if your go-to thing is, look how bad Obama's doing at this. I don't want to do that because Obama's blah, blah. I mean, if that's your fallback thing, it's...
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
Yeah.
And... But with all that in mind, I thought that some good stuff came out of it, and I feel better about some of these people than I did. I'm no Hillary fan at all, so I'll be curious to see what happens with those debates, because I don't know if Bernie Sanders is going to turn into a one-trick pony, which I kind of suspect he might.
Bernie Sanders, people are starting to figure out that he's got a bunch of great ideas and no way of paying for them.
Yeah, that's kind of a problem.
So here, the Newsmax poll after last night's debate goes number. And by the way, they really need to trim this thing down.
Yeah,
you know, there's too many. They didn't have enough time to address anything. They need to get this down to like six or eight, because 11 is just, it's overkill. And I know that it would probably knock off a bunch of the people that I could actually stomach, but it still needs to happen. All right, number 11, Scott Walker, 0.41%.
Yeah, he should be gone. That guy, he's terrible.
Number 10, Governor Mike Huckabee, who all this pretending that, like, Kim Davis is a good person has apparently gained him zero. So now you look like an idiot and you're not polling.
And I guess when Bush said... Bush said that she should be doing her job, he backed away from that so fast. It was really bad on his part. Anyway, sorry.
Number 9, Senator Rand Paul, 1.27. Number 8, boy, and this guy's fallen a long way, 1.45%, Governor Jeb Bush.
That doesn't surprise me. I think, especially the way he handled himself last night, I thought... He did nothing to separate himself from the same old thing of more Bushes in the White House.
No. In fact, he defended old or middle that, Bush.
Yeah, which
he was like, oh, at least we were safe when he was in office.
That was like, this is the first time I've heard anybody actually refer back to W in a positive manner.
Yeah, me too.
I was.
He like stood up for him, which is cool for your family, but definitely isn't going to get you voted in.
Yeah,
I mean that's crazy. Number eight, Chris Christie, 2.14%.
You know what? I admit it. I like Rex Ryan. I really do.
You like Chris Christie?
I do.
No, I don't.
He's bombastic. He's got that Jersey guy in him. I kind of like him.
I think these people who are for further criminalization of marijuana.
Well, I don't agree with. Let's be honest. I don't agree with any politician completely. Marijuana is an important one to me.
And Christie,
but
he runs one of the crappiest states. Like, your state is a total mess. I mean, they've got a terrible economy. It's just falling apart on his watch.
That's because all those Democrats in there.
Oh, that must be it. number seven, Governor John Kasich, 3.1.
I thought he did better in the first one than he did last night.
Wait, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. He was number six. So he's the middle man right now. Number five, Ted Cruz, 5.67, which I don't know how anyone takes him seriously. I've got to be honest.
You know what? He's a smart dude, but he can't believe one word of what comes out of his mouth. He really can't. He's just, and I can't support anybody who's going to shut down the government over stupid stuff.
Number four, Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, 9.22. Number three, Marco Rubio, 9.32. Number two, Carly Fiorina, 20.11.
Wow.
That's a pretty big jump considering she was at the JV table.
Yeah, yeah. She,
the last debate.
Yeah.
Who did they kick off the big table to make room for her? Did somebody get bumped or did they just go from 10 to 11?
They went from 10 to 11 because okay. It was 10. Yeah, it was 10 last time. So they just added one, which that's not how it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be like soccer relegation.
Yeah, you should get bumped.
Somebody gets dropped.
Scott Walker should have been bumped.
Yeah, he should be in the third debate.
And number one, 46.26% for Donald Trump.
People like that. People like Donald Trump.
He was actually a lot quieter last night, and probably because they started talking about stuff that he doesn't really know anything about, like foreign policy and things like that. He got real quiet, and he's like, "I'll have smart people around me. If I have to know something, I'll learn about it."
Yeah,
that doesn't exactly.
Well, I mean, every single one of those guys have to do that about something,
right?
You know, this is not a job where you can just go in and you know everything. And despite what Hillary might tell you, but at least he admitted. I think he's good for the whole thing. I really do. He's good for the entertainment aspect of it. And, you know, I don't know. I still don't know who I'm going to vote for. But I thought that there were some good things to come out. I just wish that the questions had been better. And I wish that they hadn't talked all over each other so much. And I wish they'd get rid of some of these useless guys like Walker and Huckabee that have no business being right on the stage anyway. And
as much as I hate to say it, probably Rand Paul,
yeah,
too.
I mean, agree. Like, as much as I like what he has to say on a lot of things, especially his foreign policy, he's going closer to what his dad used to do.
The reality is he's not a real Republican, and they're never going to vote for him.
Right, right.
But I think those three guys and probably Chris Christie could leave the stage because
it's probably time to drop him, too.
Yeah, and I'm really surprised that Kasich and Cruz are still getting any percentage. So
yeah, I Cruz has a very small group that just absolutely eats up everything he says, but it's, you know, it's a decent amount, and I think he represents that far into the party. I don't, Kasich's just, he's,
how many of those guys that were on that stage could you actually see voting for?
Maybe four.
I think I'm the same.
Yeah. John, how about you?
Of the ones that are realistically...
The
11?
How many of them could you check their box to make them president of the United States?
Maybe two?
I think I'm at maybe three.
Yeah, I'm probably more Republican than you guys, but...
One of them pissed me off at one point or another. Every one of them pissed me off last night at some point. And typically when one of them wasn't pissing me off, the other one was doing something that made sense to me, and then they'd flip-flop. And, like, Carly Fiorina, there's a lot of things I like about her, except, and I will say this, if you go back and do some fact checking on what she was talking about. Yeah. Maybe she doesn't look as smart as she came off.
Well, that was one thing too. AP had a great story where they went back and fact checked everything everybody said.
Yeah, none of these guys do well if that happens.
No.
Yeah, if you actually fact check debates, none of them do well. Right. Unfortunately,
well, so people want to weigh in on this, so we'll stick with it for one more segment. We can talk Texans quarterback all day. We got plenty of time for that, and it's not going to take long to talk about the Astros.
I have to also complain about the other show I watched last night.
Okay,
the America's Got Talent finale.
Yeah, I want to hear about this because I want to hear what happened to your throw up guy.
He followed me on Twitter today.
Did he?
Yep. Awesome. Big day for me. Super famous.
Texter says, Fred, I feel you on Fiorina. She's very classy and elegant looking. I'd go there. That's from Deacon.
Okay. Not me.
Well, you know what? Deacon's probably an older guy like me. I have a bigger range than you.
She looks like Sarah Jessica Parker at age 60.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. So, yeah, she does have a little bit of a horse face going on, but I'm sorry. There's just something about really rich women that appeals to me.
When they said, when Donald Trump said that she's a beautiful woman, I wish they would have said, prove it, Donald. Make out with her. You guys touch tongues.
That would have been awesome. Did you see the look on her face when he said that?
She's just perfect. Disgusted by him.
All right, guys. We'll get to your calls in just a second. But right now, I got to tell you about Tupelo's. And we were out there Monday. I love that place. Chip and his team are great. And now that it's football season, if you're up north, this is your place to watch the games, whether it's college, NFL, if you want to watch those Astros and their battle for the wild card, it's all going on. Of course, Monday Night Football, we're out there quite a bit on Monday nights ourselves. The staff is fantastic. The food's amazing. It's not your average sports bar menu. There's seriously nothing on the menu that isn't awesome. And save the date, October 12th. Tupelo's is having its first annual charity golf tournament at the Woodlands Palmer Course, benefiting Easter Seals of Greater Houston. Easter Seals, among other great things, runs the Caroline School that was damaged in the flooding back in May. Tupelo's helped them out then. ESPN 97.5 is proud to be a sponsor of this tournament. All you have to do is check out 975golf.com for the details and to register or otherwise support the cause. And you know, that's one of the things that I love about so many people we work with. And Tupelo's, man, they're doing stuff in the community. They're good people. It's a great place to go and hang out. Make it your neighborhood sports bar. You know I love Tupelo's, and I can't wait to get out there again. You can really make it your home away from home. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. That's Tupelo's, Tupelo's.com.
Cowboys Eagles 3:30 Sunday, presented by All American Berryman Products on ESPN 97.5.
And we're back on the Blitz. I love it. I probably get 80 texts enjoying the talk about the debates, and then one guy, isn't there anything in sports to talk about? Yeah, there is, and we'll get to it. Don't worry about it, but 80-1 so far. Somebody said, Fred, I love the show, but I totally did not think you were a Republican. I'm not. I'm an independent. I have voted for both parties. We just went through one time.
Yeah, but when's the last time you voted for a Democrat?
For president?
Yeah.
The first time Obama ran.
Okay.
Yeah, we went through this after the last debate, and I think I've overwhelmingly voted for Republicans more than Democrats. I did vote for Clinton. And the first time Obama, I did not vote for him last time.
I'm the same way. I voted for him the first time, didn't the second time.
Yeah,
but
I was disappointed.
I also didn't vote for Mitt Romney either the second time.
Well, I did it holding my nose, but no, more often than not, I will pick the candidate that I like the best. The one that I think is going to work with everybody to do the best thing for the country. And I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. I skewer both ways. There's some things I'm ridiculously conservative about, and there's some things that I'm very liberal about. And, you know, it's funny, somebody from 504 asked me this. As someone that travels to Canada and is married to a Canadian, are you pro-government-controlled health care like Canada? And I would just say, you know, we hear a lot of talk about that. I think that their system is fantastic, but I think it's too late for us to do this because of the insurance companies. A lot of people's pensions are tied up in things like that. I don't know that we can do it here. It works great for them. It works great for a lot of other countries. But where we are as a society, I don't know that you can make. You certainly can't do a single-payer system here, which I would love to see. But, you know, and my wife's family swears by their health care. And they've had, you know, her dad's had some issues, and so has her brother. and they get taken care of, and all this stuff you hear about having to wait forever, that's never happened to them. And if you're, you know, they take it. So it's a great system for them. I just don't know that it would ever work for us.
Right.
All right, let's grab a couple phone calls.
Yeah, let's take some. Let's talk to the people. Although I feel like this is going to go terribly wrong.
Let's try Cade. What's up, Cade?
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
It's going sports, Cade.
Good, good. Hey, I just wanted to interject my opinion really quickly because I think it might be relevant, especially to what a lot of people think is going to decide this election. So I'm a 22-year-old college graduate. I graduated back in December, and I studied economics for 4 years. And what I learned after 4 years is that it is impossible to assign causality to any variable on a large scale. And so my reason for saying that is that I think that what people are looking for in this election that's different than other things is not arguments about what's causing what to happen, because it's so complex. People can argue for anything they want to. You can skew statistics. You have PhDs in economics. You can swear conservative principles are better and others that swear liberal principles are better. But what people are looking for, what I'm looking for as a young person, is a principled person. And so I can look at people on the Republican side, and I'm a little more conservative, and see people that are clearly not principled human beings. And I can also look at Bernie Sanders and say I disagree with a lot of his viewpoints, but he's actually a principled person. And I just think that at the end of the day, that's what people are going to vote on more. They're going to vote from their gut, and they're going to vote for who they think is honest, who they think is trustworthy. So I just wondered what you guys thought about that, because I think you can look at a lot of different statistics, and people will tell you Obama's been great. Other people will tell you Obama's been horrible, and it's really more political than it is scientific. And so I don't know. I just kind of wanted to hear what you guys think about that. And that's my viewpoint from as a 22-year-old college graduate getting ready to vote.
You know what? It does make some sense. I wish there were more people who I feel like are good, well-meaning people that would run for these offices. I don't think there's that many, though, unfortunately.
No.
And it maybe because I've you know, and you probably are more jaded than I am even, I just don't trust any of them. Even if they pretend like they're good, well-meaning people, typically they're not.
No, most of them aren't good people. There's no question. And
I think what a lot of people are looking for this election, and I think the reason why you hear a lot of the I'm not Obama or more Obama and Hillary bashing than people talking about what they're actually going to do is, it's the same thing that we dealt with 7 years ago when Obama got elected the first time. It didn't matter that Obama didn't have any experience or had any idea what he was getting into. He just was different than George Bush.
And
that's what everybody was, just thirsty for something different, because George Bush was busy driving this country into the ground. It was like, we got to go a different direction. Well, 8 years later, we're back in the same spot, and people are like, oh, Obama's breaking the country apart. We got to figure something out.
Yeah, and none of that's accurate. I mean, it's, you know,
it's all accurate. We're coming off two of the worst presidencies in history.
I don't know that I would. I don't think they're nearly as bad as they're going to look, but they both haven't done a great job. I got spoiled because, frankly, I thought Reagan and Clinton were fantastic presidents, and I had 16 years of that.
I even think the first Bush wasn't that bad.
No, he was pretty good too. I
think it just went.
So really, we had 20 years of guys that. And but to his point, and I really appreciate the call, because that was a really well thought out call. The problem is, people don't think like he does. They're not going to look for the principled person. They're going to look for the entertainment, and Obama got elected because he was an attractive man. And he used social media.
He's a good speaker.
He's a great speaker. And that appeals to people. And unfortunately, most people, and this is why we're spending so much time on this, because most of our listeners are smart enough to make good decisions based on, you know, what if they're going to be a party person, that's great. You know, not a partier, but like a person who backs their party, that's great. If you're going to just try to pick the best person, that's cool too. But I think they will look for things like that, like principle and what's going to be best for me as an individual and what's going to be best for my country. A lot of people are just going to fall into the, you know, they're going to fall into the cult of personality trap. And, you know, if you're one of those guys that's what you're falling into, you probably don't even know it. And that's a shame. I think more people need to be like him. And I'm really glad to hear a 22-year-old who's interested in what's going on with this election, because those are the guys who are going to be, I mean, you're the guy who's going to be making these. You're going to make this election. If all the 22-year-olds get out there and vote, They could swing this however way they want to.
If all the 22-year-olds get out and vote, it's bad news for the people that were on stage last night.
I would agree with that. But anyway.
The Republican Party counts on young people not voting.
Yeah, and that's a problem, too. Here's another thing, and I know we're getting too much into weird stuff. With the technology we have now, why is it that we do voting the way we do it? If I can apply for car loans online and give all my information online, why can't I vote online?
Because there's hackers who will figure out a way to throw off the whole system.
I mean, hire those guys to make sure somebody doesn't.
Yeah.
Unless the Chinese want to get in there and hack us. And by the way, when was the last time Iran was in a war with somebody? You go back to Iraq, right? That was another topic that drove me nuts. It's like, oh, the evil that is Iran. Well, I don't want to say anything, but we're the ones kind of going into other countries and kicking ass and not, you know, that whole thing. I liked what Rand Paul had to say about this stuff. Anyway, but I liked what his dad had to say about Iran, too, 4 years ago, before he started rambling on and on. All right, guys, got to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. And you've heard me talk about these guys for a while, and you know, you heard me talk a little bit earlier about why I like doing business with so many of our great advertisers, and Texas Mattress Makers is right up there. Because not only are they going to get you on a great mattress, not only are you going to sleep better, not only are they going to save you a bunch of money, but they also do great things in the community. And if you haven't been over there and you're in need of a new bed, this is the place to go. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to walk in. You're going to get to check out all of their beds. They're going to find out how you sleep. They're not going to ask you what your budget is. They're going to ask you, how do you sleep? And they're going to figure out the best mattress for you. They've got so many to choose from, but they're going to custom make the mattress for you right there at the factory and sell it to you directly. So if you go to a retail store, you're paying a lot more money from a mattress that they bought from somebody else. Maybe they even bought it from Texas Mattress Makers. You're not getting custom fitted. You're not getting put on the right bed for you. And that's what they do at Texas Mattress Makers. So don't go to a retail store. Go see them. Besides, they're great people, and they're going to save you at least 50% guaranteed over what you would pay at a retail store. Yuval and the guys over there, I'm telling you, they put so much care into these mattresses. They know everything about them. I've toured the whole place with them, and to see the effort that goes into these, man, and the quality, you're going to get a great bed, and you're going to get a great sleep because of it. And guess what? You're also going to be able to help out the Houston Children's Charity. For every purchase of $500 or more, Texas Mattress Makers will donate a bed to a Houston child in need. So you're going to save money, you're going to get a great bed, and you're going to help Houston Children's Charities. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the quality of life for Greater Houston's underprivileged, abused, and disabled children who have otherwise been left behind. Go check them out. Tell them I sent you. I promise you they'll make a good deal for you. They always take care of the Blitzers. Texas Mattress Makers is at 4619 Lockwood at the corner with Navigation. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price. TexasMattressMakers.com.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Texas Cal College Football, 6:30 Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
And we're back on the Blitz. Join us for Bud Light Fantasy Thursday. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings in Rice Village tonight for happy hour. Play our daily fantasy game and win $100, plus be invited to play in the finals for $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link from our resident fantasy expert, Jason Braddock, and the ESPN 97.5 road crew at Buffalo Wild Wings in Rice Village, courtesy of ESPN 97.5. And Bud Light, tell Jason we said hello, and he will be on the show with me tomorrow. So you'll get a chance to hear him. Also, tell him he needs to watch Game of Thrones every single episode before tomorrow. Joshua, who's one of the better Twitter guys we have, by the way, says people need to start voting for their congressmen and senators, arguably more important than president. I absolutely
agree.
I agree 100%. And, man, I love how people call me anti-American. Well, what the hell? Love this country. I want the best for the country. I mean, That's all. That's why we talk about these things. I had a chance to move to Canada, as a matter of fact. How many of you would not have taken this opportunity? My wife got offered a great job. We were going to go, and I was just going to play online poker for a living. That would be pretty cool, and play big poker tournaments and just do that the rest of my life. I want to stay in America. want to stay here. Want to do this show. So I'm an American. Damn it. Let's grab a couple more calls. Corey, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, guys. Why don't they just do, like, the first time they had the debates, why didn't they just do, like, Baseball Hall of Fame? Like, if you don't get enough, I guess, approval rating or voting or anything, they just don't get to come back instead of having 11 people up there just jabbering away at each other. And then if Trump did have to kiss her, do you think he would have got more votes because of it, or she would have?
I don't know. I think that might have eliminated both of them, but it would have been worth it.
I'd feel sorry for her if she had to do it.
But. No, I'm with you. I wish there was, like, after each debate, they're like, all right, everybody in America, you get a vote. Like, yeah. It's American Idol.
Yeah.
And next week, we'll come back with another debate. And before we start the debate, we'll bring everyone on stage and say, all right, Chris Christie. America has voted. You are eliminated. I'm sorry.
Oh, that would make it so much more fun.
No. They should do like the Donald Trump style and just be like, you're fired.
Oh, that would be good, too.
That would be great. Yeah.
Or hand out roses.
Eugene says he's listening to us while flying over Phoenix.
Nice.
All right. Craig. Let's get Craig on. What's up, Craig?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports, Craig.
AJ, I kind of agree with you. There's only a couple of guys yesterday, even Carlia. That I feel like the rest of them are just wasting time. But Fred, I also agree with you. I'm becoming more of an independent and opening up my eyes, especially as my son starts to get a little bit older. I want to know what you guys think, why an independent person has a harder time running with all these millennials out there. You would think that it would be easier. I just want to know your opinion on that. I'll hang up and listen.
Because unless you have party backing, you don't have the money to run a legitimate campaign to compete with these guys.
Unless you're Donald Trump.
Yeah, and even him.
And but that's one thing I admit I like about him is that I think there's – and he brought that up, and almost every one of the guys ducked the question about, you know, the influence that you have when you give to a campaign. That's one thing that Bernie Sanders I do agree with is there we shouldn't be giving money to candidates for this stuff. There should be a limit on what we do, and I think then we might actually, you know, might be able to have some real conversations. But
you remember, you know, Ross Perot was an ultra rich. He was a one percenter, and even he could only get like a small percentage of the vote. I mean, at least he got enough of the vote to be on the, you know, the presidential debates.
Right.
Like it was a three-man race for, you know, for all intents and purposes. But I think it's very difficult. And I, you know what? Here's the other thing. What you have to do is, if you want independents to get into these debates, they have to reach a certain percentage on the presidential elections. That's why last year when I couldn't bring myself to vote for either person, you know, the Republican or the Democrat, I voted for Gary Johnson, even though, I mean, I knew there was zero chance he would win the election. But if I'm dropping a bucket into something that will, you know, create the amount of percentage that it takes to get an independent on the stage with these people, then I'll do that.
I would just say, realistically, Rand Paul's an independent. Realistically, Bernie Sanders is an independent.
But they don't have the cash.
Right. And then, you know, they're not going to get on those debates if they run as independents. There's no independent debates that get on CNN.
There was a lot of people who wanted Ron Paul to run as an independent 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think if Ron Paul would have been on a ticket, that's a guy who may have made some noise.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't get onto a ticket.
I wish we had a third party as well.
I do too.
But I don't think that's ever going to happen. And Texter says, I'm not too big on politics, but me and my wife love what Rand Paul stands for. Just curious why he isn't higher in the polls.
Because he's not a real Republican. He's a libertarian, and he's an outcast amongst that group. And the problem Republicans have is they don't want to budge and send someone more moderate out there. And the one time in recent history they sent a moderate guy out there was John McCain, and they put freaking a lunatic lady next to him on the ticket, and no one could take it seriously.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, because I actually think McCain would have been a pretty good president.
I think so too.
And
I think they made a terrible choice for who his running mate would be, and I think that he just came the fact that he ran for president right after 8 years of Bush was just bad timing for him.
And in retrospect, that's one I wish I had my vote back on, because I would have voted for him.
If they could have had Mitt Romney run when Obama first got elected and have John McCain run 3 years ago,
I think we
may have different results.
All right, guys, got to tell you about FanDuel, and you've got a game tonight, so if you want to jump in and play, now is your time. And the cool thing about FanDuel, if you had a bad week last week, maybe you played our tournament, you didn't win, guess what? Jump back in there. But you better hurry, because we only have 7 spots left that you can jump in and play on our FanDuel with, and it's FanDuel.com/Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. 243 of you are signed up for it, and they cap it at 250, so there's 7 spots left. It does not include the Thursday night game, but you're going to win $200 if you win the thing. Finish in the top 40, you're going to get paid off. And I know you guys are good, so let's do this, man. Jump in there and play. Prove you're better than me. I think 53 people did last week, so you can be one of them this week. FanDuel's the leader in one-week fantasy football, with more winners and more payouts than any other site. They're paying out over $75 million a week this football season. And by the way, it's only $5 for your chance to win that $200. Building a team's easy. You just pick your players, stay under the salary cap, and watch your team win. Now, our league only takes into account the Sunday and Monday games. We don't have the Thursday game. But if you want to get signed up, please do it now, because it's about to fill. And if you don't want to play a $5 league, you can start as low as $1. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code FOWER, and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code FOWER today. Don't forget to use the code F-A-O-U-R. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. Sign up today.
ESPN 97.5.